Alrighty, well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word concerning some things that God has done for us. And we're going to look at the book of Romans, chapter 10, first. Let's see that verse that Truman quoted to his teacher. There are many characteristics or traits, aspects of our lives that we are what we are, and we had absolutely nothing to do about it. No input, no works, no figuring it out. And it's just because we were born. Like, for instance, the color of our skin. Did anybody mark a box, I want white, or I want yellow, or, you know, we came out whatever color we have. The color of our eyes was determined without our say. The color of our hair. Of course, we can change that if you got hair. Our height. Like, Chip is tall. Chip is 6'4". That was genetically predetermined, so to speak. I mean, maybe by the foods he ate or didn't eat, maybe via plus or minus an inch or so, but he wasn't going to end up 5 foot because of genetics. Whether we're male or female. I know people are trying to change that, but really, you're either born a male or you're born a female. One of the two. Had nothing to do with it. Our nationality, where we were born. Did we have anything to do with, did we knock on the, while we're in the womb and say, I want to be English. I want to be German. No, where we popped out, that's our citizenship. So many things of what we are, our makeup, basic makeup, was we had nothing to do with. Well, what about when we become a Christian? Is there anything that's done for us that we have absolutely nothing to do with other than we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to look at that and see if there are any things, or is it all based on what we ourselves try to do? So Romans chapter 10, just a great scripture showing how to become a Christian. And in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's the detail of how a person becomes a Christian. Believes in their heart, God raised him from the dead. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and you get saved. And with that salvation comes a number of other things. We're going to look at that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Toward your right, 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, Peter. With getting saved, there are many things that God does for that individual. And we heard some of them in manifestations today. You know, he seated us in the heavenlies. He loves us. We didn't earn God's love. If we had to earn God's love, it might be a little difficult because he's perfect and we sometimes, once in a blue moon, make a mistake. To earn God's love with his standards, we would always fall short. We would always fall short. But he loves us because he loves us. You know, when you look at, I always get a kick at it. I myself have done and continue to do the same thing. You know, you have a baby, and that baby's done nothing but poop in its diaper and make messes and cry and keep you up at night. And yet, you'll do anything for it. You'll love it. Did it earn your love? Huh, it just plopped out there. How much more for God? So, chapter 1, and there's a great verse here in verse 23. They're all great on this subject. It says, being born again. You know, there's a phrase, born again Christian. Born again, simply you're born a second time, but this time it's a spiritual birth. It's called the new birth from God Almighty. Not of corruptible seed, which is how our first birth was, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let's go to verse 3 of chapter 1 while we're in the neighborhood. So when we get saved, it involves a sonship. we become sons of God. It's not just a friendship, which would be wonderful. If we were just to be friends with God, that would be wonderful. But it's beyond that. It's sonship. So much better. But verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance," and this is something that he has given us by the fact that we got born again, "to an inheritance," and this inheritance is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fades not away, and it's reserved for us in heaven. Now that's pretty good inheritance. We know financially people go through inheritance possibly from people who've died that left you something in their will. Who knows? But it's called an inheritance a lot of times. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's never going to fade. You don't have to be concerned that God's going to spend all the money before he dies. or whatever. Or lose all his land before he dies. Or whatever. You know, it's with the things that people think about. But this is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. And it's reserved for us in heaven. It's a guarantee. That's something we did not earn. We didn't strike a bargain with God and said, "Hey, look, if I do such and such for the next 50 years, you think you can save something for me in heaven?" No, it's not. It's just something he gave to us because we're his kid. Verse 5, "Who are kept by," this is us, those who are begotten again of a lively hope, "kept by the power of God through faith," or through believing, "unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We're kept by God's power. The word "kept" is often translated as guard. It's also used in terms of a military guard. God's guarding our life with his power. Is there a better power to have? I mean, we have a military in our country, probably the strongest, best military on earth. Seems like the one best one ever so far to date, you know, with all the what we have. And yet, that's nothing compared to being guarded by God Almighty. You know, our country is guarded and protected by our military. Our lives are guarded, are kept by the power of God. Pretty cool. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, to your right. 1 John chapter 3. We're just looking at some of the things that we receive from God, or do receive on a regular basis, simply because we got born of his Spirit. God became a son of his. Got saved. And the benefits are a lot better than our first birth. You know. Chapter 3, verse 1. I remember the first time hearing this scripture, just melted my heart. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that," reason being, "we should be called the friends of God." No. Friends of God would be great. Abraham says was a friend of God. But to be a son of God is far superior. "Called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear," referring to Jesus Christ, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So one of the things is that we got God's love, we're his sons, and when Jesus Christ comes back, whatever that is, we're going to be just like him. It's part of that inheritance, you know. That's got nothing to do with what we did or tried to do. We can't earn that. It's just part of who we are. It's just part of who we are. And that's all I found in God's Word concerning what God... I know, it's laughable, right? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. You know, God just so loves us. Just if that was the only thing we got out of getting born again of God's Spirit, that would be well worth it. Have God's love. Unconditional love. But there's so much more. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. This is some of the detail concerning the hope, that lively hope that we read in 1 Peter. Verse 13. And we're going to read some of these scriptures Saturday night. For the memorial service concerning Mary's life. It says, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And this is referring to not just sleeping at nighttime or whenever we go to bed, but it's falling asleep in terms of death. God refers to this sleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, we're going to be part of the gathering together, where when God sends his son down to gather up, we can't say at that time, if we're alive at the time, we can't say, you know, I changed my mind, I don't want to go up. And the unbeliever that doesn't confess Jesus as Lord can't say, hey, I want to go too. You know, we have no say in it at that point. We already got born again, and it's something that's in the package. It's a package deal, and it's certainly something we would like to keep in the package. We can't get rid of it, though, fortunately for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. But think, we're going to go to heaven. How many people that are Christians have no idea whether they're going to go to heaven or not? Which is sad, because God wants us to know. Heaven's available, and you're going when I send my son Jesus Christ back. I don't know how many people I've asked through the years, do you know if you're going to heaven or not? And I was like, I hope so. I'm not sure, but I'd like to. You know, it's always a good idea. I'd like to go. Sure, I'd like to go. But God wants us to know. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 6. Just looking at some more things that God has done for us just because we got born again. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards everybody but you. Now, he sent his love to us. That's just so big. In that, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't get good enough, and then he finally said, you know, I think I'm going to pick you to be my kid. It didn't work that way. Much more, verse 9, than being now justified by his blood. Justified is a right that God has given his people. It's the just as it's easy to remember, just as if you haven't sinned. It's a justification. Just as if you haven't sinned. By his blood, referring to Jesus Christ's blood, we are saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And reconcile is to bring back together that which has been separated. We've been reconciled to God Almighty. What a wonderful thing that is. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also are very bummed out. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. And the atonement is like the reconciliation. It's another easy one to remember. It's at one ment. It's kind of funny the way it works out, but we're one with God. We're at one ment with God Almighty. I mean, just because we said, you know, I believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and Jesus is my Lord. And many times people do it, they're only 4, 5, 6 years old. They really haven't figured out all of life yet. But they hear that and they say, yeah. And it's that simple. It's amazing. Let's go to verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Wow. Peace is a lack of strife or an absence of strife. Or, often through the years I've heard people say, if I could only just have some peace in my life. We have peace with God. If you have peace with God, you're in pretty good shape. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by believing into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Wow. We have access into God's grace. Incredible. In Hebrews it talks about, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Right? We come boldly. We have access to it. They got these little things now. It's quite an invention. You probably have used them. It's a little plastic card. They got all different colors, and there's numbers on them, and Chip is on them. And if you take that little plastic thing and stick it into a metal box, and then you push a couple numbers, out comes this green stuff. Real. You have access. If you got that little plastic card with Chip's face on it, you have access to that green stuff. Isn't that amazing? We have access to God Almighty. Amazing. We already got the card. It's Romans 10:9. We just plug her in and we get all these different things. We have access to His throne of grace. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We know so many of these great truths, and they're all through the New Testament. I thought we'd just read a little bit of Ephesians. Ephesians is like chock full. It's like whatever, the sorted candy boxes you sort of give to your sweetheart on Valentine's Day. whatever. I don't do it anymore because Susan doesn't eat chocolate. Otherwise, I'd be buying them, But they come with all different candies, and I'm sure everybody's got their favorite one they want. If I was to have it, every piece would be a chocolate one with nuts in it because that's my favorite. So Ephesians is like getting that candy box, and every nugget is your favorite candy. There's just so many great truths in this book. But we're just going to read part of chapter 1 and just look at how much God has given His people, or made them, or has done for them, or promises to do something in the future. So, Paul, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, that's one of the things we are, a saint means a holy one, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, look at this, grace be to you, and grace, as we know, is God's divine unmerited favor. He loves us because He loves us. He has a favor towards us because He has a favor for us. There's no thing that we did to earn it. Now there is a thing called fellowshipping with God and doing His will, but this is, grace has got nothing to do with that part of it. He loves us just because He loves us, whether we're a stinker or a grape. Just like when that baby comes out of the womb, everybody's like, oh, so wonderful. They haven't even looked at it yet. Just because they love it. It's great. So we have grace to us, and we'll throw in peace. And peace from whom? God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed who? Us. With a few spiritual blessings. No? With all spiritual blessings. Every single blessed one of them. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. I don't know how many there are. And I don't know what they all are. But I'm really happy that we all get them all. Sort of like a kid. I remember going through this as a kid. You know, they had a G.I. Joe. When I was a kid, there was only one G.I. Joe. And then all of a sudden, the manufacturers thought, hey, if we make different ones, they'll buy them too. And every kid you see, if he knows there are three, he wants all three. If he knows there's six, he wants all six. If there was only three, he'd be happy with three. But once he finds out there's six, he wants all six. Or what about 20 or 30? You know, this just goes on and on. They want them all. It's just the way kids are. Not that we would ever be like that. But God, I just think it's ticklish. God giving us all, whatever they are, however many, you've got them all. Verse 4, according as he has chosen who?
Us
in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish or without blame before him in love. Boy, can you ever pay for something like that? Can you ever earn enough money to pay for that? Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption, it should be, it's a word for sonship. The sonship of children by Jesus Christ to somebody else. I don't want them. You guys. No, to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Great things that he has done for us. We had nothing to do with it other than we said, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I mean, look how rich it is. You know, we've been bought back. It's redemption. We've got forgiveness of sins. Two big things, and the verse isn't even done yet. According to the riches of his grace, wherein he sort of trickled it to us. No? He abounded toward us. In all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He's letting us know the biggest secret on earth. He's letting us in on it. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. That, reason being, in the administration of fullness of times, this is the future stuff, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And part of that inheritance is all the things that are coming up in the future. And we read in Peter, it's incorruptible, it fadeth not away, it's reserved for us in heaven, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. He did it after his own counsel, because who better for God to associate with and consult with than himself? You know, who's he going to consult with that's going to give him a better idea than he himself would get? So it's according to the counsel of his own will. That, verse 12, we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed. The gift of Holy Spirit is our proof of us being born again, which is, verse 14, the earnest or token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, which is just incredible, which is one of the wonderful things about the manifestations of Holy Spirit, nine of them, speaking in tongues being one of them. If you can speak in tongues, you know you have the gift of Spirit, you know, the gift of Holy Spirit in you. And if you have the gift of the Holy Spirit in you, it's your token, it's your proof you're going to heaven and that you got an inheritance. That's pretty good. So, verse 17. Verse 16. He ceases not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. There's three things that he really wants his people to know. And the first one is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, which is part of it is the return of Jesus Christ and all the things involved with the upcoming future. The hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, the riches of the glory of those at that inheritance. We're looking at some of the things that we have as an inheritance. These are things that are not going to go away. And he wants us to know what they are. It's like you got that treasure chest. He says, why don't you open up the lid? And I'll show you what you got in there. You open up the lid and there's all of these treasures in it. It's like getting that box and it's nothing but the kind of candy you like, whatever. You know, he wants us to know what they are. Verse 19, and the third thing is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? And here's the type of power it is, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So the power that it took to raise Jesus Christ from a dead person to a live spirit, and then ascend him into heaven, that power is the same power that he makes available to us. Just incredible. So, and the book goes on and on, as we know, of the different things that God has made us, has given to us, has promised us, that he will perform or does perform. And so, you know, if you ever think, well, you know, I'm not really that special, you just kind of wake yourself up with what God's word says, or I'm really not that needed, you just wake yourself up with what God's word says. Because, I mean, just this one chapter alone is wake you up faster than coffee will, right? or a cold thing of water on you in the morning. Has anybody ever had somebody throw cold water on you in the morning to wake you up? I had it a couple times when I was a teenager. And it does wake you up quick, just so you know. But to have these great truths right square in front of us. I was asking a guy that works for me the other day if he knew whether he's going to heaven or not, and he said, I don't know. And he believes in Jesus Christ. It's Francisco, little Francisco. So I said, okay. So I told him about getting born again, and he goes, I said, okay, do you know anything that God has given you? Or do you know if he's given you anything? He goes, I don't know. You know, and I was like that one time. I knew absolutely nothing. But we get educated by what the Word of God says. But what a thrill to know that he has given us these wonderful things. And they're permanent. It's a permanent fixture in our life. So we take that card with the chip on it, catch it and enjoy it. You know, we have it. Why leave it in the box? So it's just great.